With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Previously on Derpy Show.
You want to go to the Derp Dome, you gotta play the Herp Toll.
Derpy Show.
Okay. Joe, you were forbidden from wearing snaps the other day.
I told you, you weren't allowed to wear those anymore.
Derpy Show.
Oh, God. You're like a walking train wreck. I don't want to look at you, but I can't stop.
Derpy Show.
Edgar, don't be a punk-ass bitch.
Derpy Show.
And why the silver and gold? Is this like a Yukon Cornelius thing going on here?
Show.
I gotta go follow him, make sure he doesn't die.
Derpy Show.
Not the pizza, the paper towels, not the pizza.
Derpy Show.
I guess he does technically have an unfair advantage in the sense that there is pizza here for him to work with.
What is that? How does that
We'll
work?
See if he can use egg and pizza simultaneous.
Derpy Show.
So I Google myself daily to see what comes up.
Derpy Show.
Are two men staring at their phones. Is he playing Bejeweled in the middle of this fucking challenge?
He is.
Fucking turn that shit off!
Derpy Show.
Syphilis.
The sixth sheik's sixth sheep is sick.
Syphilis. Syphilis.
Yeah, not syphilis. Sibilance.
Syphilis?
Sibilance.
Sibilance?
Yes. Sibilance.
Syphilis.
Close enough.
DJ Snorlax and I got back together for this episode, but we could not snag the other two derps. So I am Boar.
And this is DJ Snorlax.
Hey guys, it's me, DJ Neofest.
Hey, it's Robo Joe.
And you're about to have DJ Snorlax.
And the Boar.
So welcome guys to part two of Herp and the Derp Dome. So you guys know, we actually did an extra long recording session for the Herp and the Derp Dome. We actually recorded all live, one long day, all sorts of action-packed excitement and terror and oddly a large amount of humping, and we just couldn't fit that into just one episode, could we?
It was mainly due to Robo Joe that all the humping happened.
That's true. That's true. He really misinterpreted Two Men Enter, One Man Leaves.
Yeah. That was a little bit of a mess to clean up, too.
Yeah. What we've decided to do is actually split this up. You're going to get the rest of the Herp and the Derp Dome, the climactic conclusion in which you guys will be able to discern who is the derpiest of them all, DJ Neofaust or Robo Joe. And we also have a few holiday surprises for you because it is the Derptide season.
At least one surprise.
At least one surprise. Maybe two.
Maybe two.
But probably just one.
So yeah, enjoy the rest of the Herp and the Derp Dome, and make sure to look us up on Facebook or Tumblr or Twitter. We do all the social medias here at Derpy Show.
Yeah, we are totally social with our media.
Yeah, we say hi and give it a handshake.
We claim that we were the reason that Tumblr went down a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Whether that's true or not, we still claim that.
I think it was true.
Yeah.
I did everything I could.
I mean,
I've been tumbling pretty hard these days.
I was just clicking refresh over and over again. So, that could have done it.
That's what they call one of those denial of service attacks.
Yeah, DDoS.
I don't know if it was distributed, though.
Oh. I don't know. So if we were doing this for a reason, we'd be a hacktivist. If we're just doing it for no reason, would that make us hackderpists?
I think it would at least make you an anarch derp.
An anarch derp?
Derparchist?
Derparchist? Which do you like better, guys? Anarch derp or derpicist?
Derpy Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode of Derpy Show. That's right, today is Herp in the Derp Dome.
Derp Dome!
Yeah.
Oh god.
It's been called the ultimate derp down.
Yes.
Of ultimate derpstiny.
It has been called that. It has also been called a couple of greased pigs humping a doorknob.
But that's gonna be later. We're gonna save that for later.
Is that what the greasy event is for?
Wait, is that why there's an outdoor version? Oh god.
Well,
so we do have to go to a farm later. We didn't reveal that. You guys know now.
What?
Old MacDonald had a pig and a doorknob.
But that pig ain't for eating.
Derpy show.
There's something that really touched my heart this week. I actually was watching the computer the other night when City of Heroes shut down their servers for good.
Oh,
and I'm pretty sure most of the people in this room probably at least
Holy
touched City
shit.
Of Heroes. At least
yeah.
I
beta tested for that.
I did too.
And did full on like all max to like 40 and above.
Did you ever play Hero City Heroes?
I never actually played, but I know a lot of people that did.
Pissed me off. Everybody was like, DC Online is
and
better
I mean,
than City
honestly,
Heroes.
It's always sad to see the death of an MMO.
One of the things that was really great about that game is how customizable your characters were.
Yeah.
Like, it was the first one that really let you
completely
alter the way they look
and the power
and then,
sets.
Yeah,
and
give them completely different powers.
Well,
like, I had a guy that I made really tiny, and I made him look like a bug. And I gave him extremely powerful legs and jumping ability and sonic powers, and I called him the Noisy Cricket. That was one of my favorite characters.
That's nice.
Like, he could jump like crazy.
Was that a Men in Black reference?
Sort of.
Yeah, close. Yeah.
Sort of.
Well, I really liked that part of the game was that you could write your own backstory in the character box. You had your description section.
Yeah.
So you would go around and read. I remember seeing, like, there was a guy, I distinctly remember this. This is probably almost 10 years, like, I guess,
three,
eight,
four,
years, eight nine years ago when I first saw this, but it was a guy, and he was in a samurai outfit, and his character name was The Next to Last Samurai, and it was like, he arrived for the most important battle of all time. He was a day late. He missed the battle. But that was like his whole description, it was just like so ridiculous, but that was kind of what City of Heroes was. It was the early days.
But the same studio, Cryptic Studios, did another game once they left, I can't remember what company published it, it was NCSoft, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, but you could customize it even further. You could customize small bits.
Was it
Champions?
Was it Champions?
Champions. Champions Online, I think, is still going or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's basically, I think that's one of the reasons they shut it down, was because Champions is what they're doing now, and it's a basically just an updated, better version
The engine's good, and
City of Heroes.
What's so sad about it, though, I have a lot of games from my childhood that I like to play.
True.
But, like, I want to play Mario Brothers on Nintendo. Either I can find a Nintendo, or I can get an emulator. I can find emulators for Monkey Island. I can find emulators for the Commodore 64. I can find emulators, arcade emulators.
You'll never be able to play this game again.
Yeah,
wait,
the servers are down.
If you approach the studio and publishing company, sometimes they could sell you a license, or you could just get the actual server software or image to run on your own private server. Like, they did that with, Hellgate London. You approach the studio that did it and be like, hey, we want to still have a multiplayer server.
And they're like,
cool,
cut us a big check.
Well, sometimes they ask for, like, just a licensing fee, but otherwise they're just like, sure, go ahead. Or say, hey, I got this download, I'm going to start up my own little private server, is this okay? And sometimes if you get the blessing from the publisher or the actual, like, developing, like, company,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty cool.
I wonder if someone's done that with NCSoft, because I was surprised at how many people were logged on to see the end. There were so many people in the middle of Atlas City, on the big statue of Atlas in the City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It was freaking packed. Just people there showing off their characters, dancing,
mm-hmm.
doing stuff. It was crazy. And it was kind of anticlimactic, like, I don't know what I wanted. Like, I don't know
the
what...
The server just went blank now.
It just went... You know, like, server countdown, and then it just went, you've been kicked off the servers are now shut down. Like, just like a little...
It wasn't like when the new Final Fantasy XIV, when that shut down because they're doing the relaunch of it in a few months. They had, like, a huge in-game event that, like, lasted a month or something, and then they ended it with, like, a really, really epic video. Have you seen that?
No.
It's really cool.
But now, awesome. it was just like someone turned the Switch off and everything went dark.
Wait, is Ultima Online Renaissance still going on?
Well, they're like about five expansion packs beyond that now.
I know,
and
it's beyond Renaissance, I know, but if it's still going
on. But a lot of those games, I mean, hell, I think The original EverQuest still has live servers.
No. Yeah. The first EverQuest went down, I think.
No, they still,
have...
No, I'm pretty sure there are still servers.
Okay, I thought that, I didn't know the vanilla.
And, like, I mean, Dark Age of Camelot, I mean, that's one of the original MMOs, too, and I'm pretty
sure... That died.
Did that die?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that went down a long time ago.
Like, I mean, but, like, you'd be surprised. Like, a lot of those old-school, like, MMO stuff, they're still floating around out there.
It could be that...
Private servers sometimes.
Yeah, some games are pretty easy to emulate, like... Ultima Online, you could run it with like a really tiny server program.
Bell 95.
Like I used to run a UO server.
Do you remember? What was it? It was like an anime kitschy thing. It was like Ragnaros or something like that.
Ragnarok Online.
Yeah,
that's still going on.
That was still going on. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean,
yeah, that was the like it was 3D world, but it had sprites.
It was nifty. I mean, I used to play it in high school at school because it was like online.
RuneScape was a big thing. I think.
And then
RuneScape's still around.
And then PlanetSide 2 just came out. If you guys ever played PlanetSide,
free to play actually too.
Yeah, PlanetSide was pretty fucking cool back in the day. You'd have like hundreds of people trying to take a bridge. It was insane. It'd take hours. It was like real combat almost.
So I haven't played PlanetSide 2 yet because I got in the beta. And they kept doing, like, little beta events. You had to, like, catch it.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, it's only, like, for, like, 3 days or something. And every time I tried to log in, it was like, sorry, we're not available right now.
Yeah.
So I just got frustrated after trying so many times, and I haven't even touched it yet since it
came out. That sucks.
I
need
a video card.
I remember playing the original PlanetSide, like, fucking in high school with a bunch of my friends.
And Battlefield 1942.
Oh, yeah. And we'd, like, we'd set up. But the thing is, like, we'd be, like, a five-man group. But there'd be literally hundreds of people on each side.
Yeah.
And it'd be, like, straight up real combat. I mean, you'd have people in vehicles. You'd have to move up in formation
or
and stuff. Or you'd get wrecked.
Well, no, half time is just chaos. Like, everybody's separate in their own squad. They're doing their own thing. And it's like, well, what the hell's
yeah,
going on?
Like, you have... But the thing is, it was cool because you actually had to have coordination to get anything accomplished.
That's
true. If you didn't actually talk to everybody else that was playing at the time, you'd never do anything.
Yeah, one of the things I really appreciated about that game was it was an MMO where if you were a level 1, you could still make a difference against like higher level characters.
Oh yeah, because you could get in a vehicle and just
you have to flack your way to a vehicle, but you could get into a position or a role where you can actually like man a turret, or fulfill a role with like sweeping a like a laboratory or taking out vehicles and stuff.
It was pretty cool. It was like a MMO. It was like a first person shooter MMO with like world. Fucking global warfare mechanics. It was pretty
huge
neat.
Maps.
Yeah, it was like MMO plus tribes plus like
battlefield.
The newest Tribes came out recently.
I played that
for maybe about like a week or so, and I stopped. It's free to play as well.
I had a lot of fun with Tribes, and like I've played it quite a bit, and I even put some money in it to buy guns.
Oh, Ascent
and stuff.
I never played Tribes. I played a lot of Civ.
It's basically think of Unreal and like Quake with vehicles and capture the flag.
Oh, that sounds
pretty
cool.
Was skiing.
Yeah,
it's like the most fast paced FPS you can play.
It's pretty damn
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Hey, like, how about Counter-Strike?
My bag, man.
Like, there's such a high learning curve that even though it's an FPS, you can, like, if you played a shitload of FPSs but you've never played a Tribes, you'll go in there and you'll not hit anybody for, like, a few hours. Until you get used to it.
It's
ridiculous.
It's a lot of, what's the thing when you aim ahead of something? It's called...
You have to lead.
It's a lot of lead, and, like, you
start to... And there's ordnance and stuff? Like, you have to, like...
Yeah, there's lobbing ordnance, there's sometimes lasers, there's sometimes rail guns that you have to hit on.
You can call down airstrikes and shit, too.
I mean, and just when you see somebody jump over it, you start to eventually get the arc of where they're going to land. You're just like, oh, crap, I know what's going on here and stuff like that. It gets pretty cool, actually. But I did a week of that, and I was just kind of like, that's cool. I just don't have time. That's the thing. It sucks about these games. Yeah.
Derpy Show.
Speaking of not having enough time, like, on one hand, I was thinking about the heydays of some games. The MMO I've played by far the most of is World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Like, fucking weeks wasted.
Yeah.
But I distinctly remember Alterac Valley back in the day being like 36 hours long.
Yeah.
Like,
would you say all of the day? I stopped at Battlegrounds patch and then I played a little bit for Burning Crusade.
The thing is, we've been playing since then, we just still play.
I stopped, I was just kind of like...
It's hard to remember, like, what happened when.
Yeah, it all bleeds together.
So Alterac Valley was part of one of the original Battlegrounds. It was the 50-plus Battlegrounds, so 50 to 60.
Okay.
And it was essentially tug-of-war,
but with like locations and mob. And
wasn't it like what you call gear check tug of wars, where it's just the mass amount of people
no.
that would just.
It was 40 versus 40. It was a huge amount of players.
Items.
And like, it also had mini games, because like, you also had to kill NPCs mm-hmm. that were allied to the other sides. Mm-hmm. But, say, one person could go around and kill all these wolves. And collect furs and make wolf riders. And someone else would collect crystals and summon this giant demon thing.
Oh, cool. So you could also send mobs or like creeps towards the other side. That's cool. I like that
yes.
mechanic.
But okay. most of the time nowadays, people just ignore all that stuff.
Oh, really? Oh, mm-hmm. it doesn't really change.
Just in Steam, see how fast you can zerg it and steamroll.
Oh, okay.
But back in those days, it was so, the mechanics of it were so important.
You couldn't do that.
You just couldn't do that. And what ended up happening was you'd get in there. And you'd get in and you'd play, and you'd be like, fuck, this is taking forever. You'd be, you know, getting honor for winning and killing people. Mm. Then you'd be like, oh, I've been in this fucking battleground for an hour and a half. I'm going to go to bed. You would wake up the next morning, and the exact same battleground was still happening.
People just come in and leave and switch out. And
so there's no resolution at the end of the battle.
No, there is. There's an end. It's just, it takes forever to fucking get
it. It's just like the castle raids in fucking Lineage 2. I remember like joining one, 6 hours later, we just got through the gate.
Oh no,
like, holy
Dark Age of Camelot was like that to a certain extent too.
Oh dear god, like I would spend so long, it's been like 2 months building a giant siege golem. I'd be like, yeah, go!
Okay. Since we're talking about old MMOs, did anybody play Shadowbane?
Yes, no. I did play Shadowbane because I had the catapult launchers to knock down walls and shit.
Shadowbane,
god damn it,
was awesome in a way that no other MMO has been for
destructive
quite a while. Like you would get into a guild, and everybody would accumulate wealth for the guild, mm-hmm. and then the guild would build like a city fortress.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And then, like in the world, everybody could see it.
It was just like in Ultima Online, where you could build up, like, a castle or real estate and build your clan area right there,
yeah.
too. That
and
was
so
the coolest thing.
There would be
other guilds would have
other cities, and, like, another guild could decide they wanted to fight you. And they would throw down a challenge, which was, like, I think it was a stone or a tree or... No, okay,
it was a flag. They threw down a
beam. No, it was, like, a stone... Bane Stone.
That was it, yeah, and you had to agree to that.
And you had to agree to terms. Like, you had to be like, you had to agree to a battle,
yeah.
But you could pick the time.
You pick a time frame, too. Like, if the battle's not resolute in, like, what, 3 days, you just stop that?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So, at a certain time, your city would go destructible.
Yeah.
Like, it would basically, you had a tree in the center of your city that was protecting your city,
God,
and the Bane Stone would nullify the tree. So,
holy crap.
At that time, like, another guild could come in and, like, you would have to defend
could
your
you
city
completely
against
lose your
the
city?
Other guild.
Oh, yeah, you could.
People would come
yeah.
in with, like, they had,
I remember where there's
normal weapons
stuff
couldn't
like
do damage to buildings, but
the
they would come
weapons.
In with siege hammers.
Yeah.
And they would just come in and, like, after
oh
they
God.
Cleared out your guild, like, after they wiped
killed
you out,
everybody
out. They would just start level. Beating the crap out of your buildings.
Wait, didn't they? So they added a mechanism near the end of that.
Yeah, they had
you could
siege
capture,
weapons.
You could capture and also use siege weapons, too.
Yeah, yeah, they added that stuff into it. But the cool thing about it is, like,
well,
it would be, like, a guild that would just start assimilating everything and or destroying.
See,
so
I
so there were really cool things that would happen, like... I was in this guild that was pretty strong, but there was one that was just sort of like the Borg and was taking over everything. And
free goons.
So
yeah.
I remember being sent to negotiate with some surrounding smaller guilds to like come
band
together,
together.
To
come
band together,
together
and
well,
save our city. Because I was like, look, we just got baned. We need like two other guilds or more to help us. Otherwise, we're going to get destroyed. And if we get destroyed, you guys are next.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
So, like,
very cool.
There was
mechanism.
Shit like that where you would have to like band together
well,
to,
but
to take down.
But the battles were so long and it was a grindy, grindy game. Like, there was no quest or story that
well,
you could gather up anything. It was just a grind fest.
There were a lot of mechanics in that game where you could override the grind because it's coming back to your macros thing.
Oh, the bot stuff, yeah.
Later on, you could just, like, have... It was one of those games where you could get in a party with somebody that's higher level and they could almost level up for you. They
okay.
just killed giant
yeah.
mobs and
well, their security wasn't that great, too, because they had bots. They were just...
Oh, I had
bots
that would go all night just nuking things.
Nice,
like,
nice.
After they allowed flight, I just had a character that would fly above
just
mobs and just nuke from the sky.
Nice.
And I could keep them in the air indefinitely and just
oh
nuke
my God.
Things.
Nice, nice.
So I would have all my guildmates just hide behind trees and be like, just stay in the group, just hang out if you want, and just level up.
Yeah, oh, nice. But I really like the personal accountability, like the things you can create, you can lose.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. I like that about it, and it kind of reminds me, have you guys heard about the World of Darkness MMO they're talking about bouncing around?
Yes.
Where it's fucking permadeath.
Obsessed with it. Yes, I've been obsessed with following that thing. The permadeath thing is cool as fuck. But is it only vampires, though?
I think initially what he was telling me about it, but I think apparently what he was saying was, like, it starts with vampires and then werewolves might be a later expansion.
But wait, now is it old World of Darkness or new White Wolf books?
Modern. It's modern World of Darkness.
Fuck!
But regardless...
No, like, the thing is, like, it sounds like a new spin on MMOs, which is cool, because right now everything follows, like, is trying to either unseat WoW, or it ends up just being a clone that's not as good. This sounds like it's a totally new spin on MMOs.
Because instead of being like, this is your character and you work on this all the time, like, each server is going to be a different, like, represent a different real-world city.
Yeah.
And you can hop from server to server by moving from place to place.
Yep, yep. Uh-huh.
And if you get powerful enough, then apparently, as you gain experience, you start at the highest points. It's not like, I'm level 90, and everyone can be level 90. You actually have to take power from other. There's only so much power to go around.
Oh, wait, no, I heard there's also
a point system. So it's like the Highlander?
It's kind of like an Eve. The longer you're alive, the more points you build up, just like in the actual tabletop.
Well, but the thing is, it also makes you a lot more combat weary, and sounds like it'll be more role-playing based, because it's permadeath, and the thing is, like, you're trying to build a power base and, it, like, gain support followers. It's like real world, like, mob basically. Like, you're trying to gain followers and build a power structure.
That kind of reminds me of Asheron's Call had a system like that.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it sounds like it's almost like a LARP in the computer, because you have to build a power base, but the thing is, you can't be afraid to fight to become the most powerful. You have to, but you have to do it intelligently enough to where you don't die.
One of the things they're talking about is because, like you said, kind of like Highlander, there's only one person who's the most powerful in any given area.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just how the game works. You kind of remember how Warlord used to work in WoW? Like,
the PvP.
Every week, they would give a power ranking, and whoever was number one would be High Warlord.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works. Every week, there's going to be one person who's the top. And the higher you go up the hierarchy, you start getting things that are kind of like NPC powers. Like, if you're higher level, you can issue, like, bounties for players.
Or quests, or
to get
boons.
People to work for you.
Well, I mean, I'm speaking from the old system, because I'm still stuck
exactly,
on
it. Exactly, boons. Okay. So it's exactly...
So there's primogens, and then there's, like, heads of whatever group and stuff like that?
Yes, cool. So you essentially make little groups underneath you. So
now,
like,
the way I see this playing out is that whoever gets to the top is just going to be a huge dick and just go around killing
everybody. No, but the thing is, I'm assuming there's going to be checks and balances, not to mention the fact that while you are the most powerful, you're still all heroes. You know what
I
mean?
Is it player? Is it completely player controlled? Player?
No, like they're driven. Like they're going to be NPCs. Well, the way it was described to me, they're going to be NPCs to start, but eventually players will take over those roles.
I see.
So it'll be completely self sufficient. And if you want that guy's job or whatever he does that makes him special, you have to go fucking kill him.
Do you have to, or is there any way you can convince him to step down? Maybe
probably
into, like, a social situation,
like,
where he is.
I'm assuming, like, you could,
because it's vampires, for God's sakes, and half that game was the social side of things, where basically you would just blackmail somebody through, like, deception and have him step down. Not
blackmail, or you could just show a power, like, listen, you step down or I'll kill you.
It's like gonna be like True Blood, where there's a king of Louisiana.
There will likely be a king of Louisiana.
Well, no, but the thing is, it sounds like that if there's a leader of each city that's the most powerful, that's exactly what it'll be.
You probably have to think, like, there's going to be people.
There'll be territories.
Well, and be honest, like, there's going to be someone in, like, in New York. New York is probably going to be the most wanted city, because I'm the king of New York. Fuck, you know, I'm the coolest.
Now, they may have some resource attributes attributed to each city.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, port cities have more income. Mm. Like, a city in Kansas. Like, Kansas City may not have as much,
like,
you know, wealth.
New York bagel mines.
Right, like, I can't wait to play the game and be like, I'm really big in Boise. Like, I am the vampire lord of Boise.
Like, I'm actually reading the Anita Blake books right now, and it's like, it sounds kind of. I know I just said that, and fuck you guys.
I don't know what this means, but she was giggling. And
is Anita Blake
so
Ricean?
Yeah, no. It's Laura K. Hamilton.
Smut, right?
No, the thing is, like, I thought it was like that, but I'm like 6 books in, and it's not smutty at all, really. It's more like a
vampire. 6 books out of 20, though.
Okay, so apparently it gets worse, but I'm not there yet. But, like, apparently, like, right now, it's like the master vampires accumulate power, build up defenses, and it's all territorial. So, like, there's a council that rules over everybody, but you can move in and, you know, force the power, and you don't necessarily have to kill them to usurp the territory.
Where does Sookie come into play?
That is a True Blood, different universe.
That is a fae, and even in World of Darkness, they have fae as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Changelings. Like, yeah, and she's, like, what, a 32% or so.
She's
less than a 16.
Yeah, she's
whatever. 32.
But she's not a changeling though. She wasn't stolen.
No, it was no. She was just fae. She was her great grandma had sex with a fucking fairy or something.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
I read all those.
All right, boys. I think it's time to start the derp bait.
Derpy show.
More has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's good though.
Very good.
Okay, focus, guys. I've got two more. They're not really. These aren't specific questions so much as they are topics for you guys to discuss.
Okay.
I guess we could say that the dirt bait is over, but we're going to leave them in the dome for a little bit because we want them to discuss some various things.
Okay. Like a jungle in here.
Okay. It's what?
It feels like a jungle in here. It's getting hot.
Life is a battlefield.
Yeah.
Just like love.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
No. Clothes are mandatory.
Mandatory. First off, Neophaus is probably going to have an advantage here. But I'm gonna have an advantage place for you too. Philosophy. What do you guys think of it? Let's start off with Neophaus because he's the reigning philosophy major on Derby Show.
Before we start, I'd like to point out that I was the philosophy major in college for.
Okay.
So this discussion will take 17,000 fucking hours.
Trick Johnson all the way.
We might have to edit this down.
String theory a lot.
I graduated.
Anyway. Yeah. Start off, what are your thoughts on some of your favorite philosophies, maybe? Just talk about...
What about philosophy?
Yeah, you got to get a little more specific.
There's my point of thing, what about philosophy?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. That's your topic. Go.
What about it?
Well, that's the major question, because when you propose the major question, that's when you can actually discuss the answer, even though the answer may be a objective... Like
the answer may be the question.
Yeah, pretty much. What is philosophy? What about it? My take on it is it's a very important principle everybody should have in life. And if you want to get technical with my philosophies, I do devote a lot to Jiddu Krishnamurti's approach to extreme subjectivism, only in regards to the fact that subjectivism implies a offset objectivism. So the two implies both, almost in the sense that I kind of take to the whole Eastern way of thought. I'm going to leave it like that.
Robo Joe.
So the question is, what is philosophy?
No, not necessarily. It's... How do you feel about philosophy? How does philosophy affect you? What is your personal philosophy? You can go into any of those topics. It's very general.
As far as philosophy goes, I had a philosophy teacher that loved to get me to debate him because I went to my junior college, I guess would be the best way to put it, or like I got my AA degree in Polk County, so I...
PCC!
Yeah. PSC now.
PSC.
Yeah, apparently we're like long lost, like cousins or something. Apparently. We just found this out earlier.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense.
The guy that looks like Brian, sounds like Brian from a...
He's a bigger guy.
Yeah,
we had the same philosophy teacher.
Dude, he looks like the dude from like Seinfeld as well too.
He called me O'Brien.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And from 1985.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, the sequel to 1984.
Wait, when did you graduate?
05.
Oh my god, we did have it. Go on.
Okay.
Same here.
So now that we found out that they may be cousins, this might be more awkward when you release that video of them making out.
It will probably be awkward for everyone involving myself.
Okay, anyway, Joe, continue with your philosophy.
So basically, I don't know. I think philosophy, like, I try to be a very introspective person, so philosophy is, I feel like it's important to everybody to kind of analyze what you believe in and try to figure out where you stand on various issues and how you view the world and what happens to you in it. I mean, but at the same time, as far as philosophy goes, I mean, I just like to learn, and I don't think there's one specific philosophy I exactly adhere to, but it's fun to debate and have a good knowledge base to talk about people with different ideals and how you view the world, because you come to enlightenment through debate.
You do devote yourself to a philosophy, and that's open philosophy.
Well,
Zen.
Oh, I think he just won this one. But I'd like to close by saying that my personal philosophy is 42.
Okay, Douglas Adams reference. Good, good.
Also, the amount of hours that it takes for sloths to have sex. 42.
Okay. Interesting.
Relevant.
Thanks.
Interesting little fact injection.
The more you know.
All right, next topic. History. Is it important to you? Why? And what is one of your favorite historical events?
Can we go figures, or does it have to be events?
Yeah, figures or events. What's up with that?
Can we do both?
It doesn't matter.
Can we do one of each?
Yeah, I was going to say, one of each.
Can we do one of each?
Yeah.
I don't care. All right. Go ahead.
So I went to school for a lot of things, I guess. I changed my major quite a bit, but what I ended up doing was, for some reason, I decided I wanted to torture children and myself by getting a degree in education and history. So
that'll be a good soundbite to edit out later. Continue.
So I had, as far as history goes, one of my favorite figures. Ooh, it's a toss-up between probably Rasputin.
Oh, hell yeah!
Andrew Jackson.
Asshole.
I know. Like, well,
asshole.
Oh, dude, the only U.S. president to participate in over 120 duels. He used to pad the front of his shirt and then stand sideways.
He fucked up the Indians, though, too.
He also annihilated the French at the Battle of New Orleans to the last man 2 weeks after the war was over.
Ruthless motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. And then we elected this guy president for some fucking reason. If we had to go with an event, I mean,
can I just comment real quick on, I'm fascinated that the person that you picked is one of the only people I can think of that has his penis pickled in a jar somewhere.
Rasputin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Rasputin is really cool because there's a lot of like lore and folklore and stuff that goes, that surrounds him.
Knowledge around.
Yeah, him. But the thing is, like, if you actually research his actual death, like police records from the time, which are, you know, like pre-modern, like, I mean, it happened in like 1915 to 1920. I think it was 1918 he died.
Around that time.
So,
yeah.
Like, it's pretty, like, not that long ago. And, like, the actual, like, police records, he was poisoned, shot, stabbed, drowned, hung. And all of this happened.
In what order, do you know?
I think he was poisoned first.
Yeah.
Then I think he was stabbed. Then he ran from the bar, got shot.
Yeah.
Then they caught him, tried to hang him. That didn't kill him. He struggled out. They pulled him down, wrapped him in a carpet, and threw him in the frozen river. And they found him. His arms were outstretched, like he was clawing at the ice with water in his lungs. Mm-hmm. So regardless of the fiction, just his death alone, I mean, you can hear the explanations, like the poison. They talk about how he was paranoid and built up an immunity over time to it. And if you don't know how to hang somebody, it's very easy to not do that properly, and they'll survive.
Muscles at a certain point too.
Well, that, and if you don't know how to do it, there was an art to it almost.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Like, if you didn't know how to hang somebody, you could.
Well, also, the last second you could replace.
Yeah.
Like, oh, not replace, but
and then with, you know, old school firearms. I mean, if it was a pistol from, you know, 20 yards, it might not have done much damage. Yeah. Getting stabbed, if it was a non-vital organ, not to mention adrenaline. But regardless, I mean, even if it's fictional or not, like, the facts, this guy was a monster, and there was a lot more to him than meets the eye. Not to mention the fact that he somehow managed to be the right-hand man of the Tsars, and was basically keeping their hemophiliac son sick and healing him with what we consider like mundane medicines, but would actually help. Like, he was probably giving the kid, Nicholas was hemophiliac, So he was probably giving him things like aspirin to like thin the blood and stuff like that. So he was a very intelligent guy, but this guy was a monster regardless, which is really interesting.
But the important question is, why is his dick in a jar on display somewhere?
Because it's his phylactery, and what you don't realize is that he's a lich and he's actually still alive.
That's true.
So the fact that his dick is in a jar and
so if we collect the rest of the body parts, we can actually resurrect him.
So what you're telling me is that...
And I mean, we all saw Hellboy, so he's really not dead.
So what you're telling me is that dick is in a jar in the belly of a duck that's in the belly of a hare that's locked in a chest buried underneath an old oak tree.
Oh, okay, so that's the Russian folklore about Koshy. The lich. And yeah, you guys are affiliated with Random Encounter. So, yeah, but no, that's true. I buy that.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
I thought the Russians wanted to clone him from that and ate.
It is now train break.
Neo Falcello. Robo Joe Solo.
I'm really bad at this and I have no rhythm.
I noticed that I had to turn it like somebody's off.
I'm gonna go and cry now. Continuance.
Alright, train break over. Okay, favorite historic people, Neo Faust.
Person.
Or peephole, either way.
Yeah, like maybe you like French peasants in the 1600s, for example. That could be people that you admire.
Or there's this really weird bathroom in Atlantic City where if you look in one of the holes, you can actually see people doing it. So that counts too, the peephole.
Yeah, you could like those peephole people.
God, I have favorite people from like ancient history and favorite people from modern day history. I would go with my modern day one.
Just narrow it down to one.
Around the same era as Rasputin, maybe a little bit after. Actually, a little bit after. Tesla. I have been completely enamored with his work.
Good choice.
And the fact is that he was quite a visionary, almost to the point where conspiracy nuts say he wasn't of this time. In the same sense, I've studied much of his residence theories, or basically the pavement he laid for anybody to go further study residence theory. God, what more about him? Very humble guy, really was almost utopian in his approach to technology should be used to improve humanity and not be profited off. But if it wasn't for, was it H.D. Moore or Waterhouse, or whatever his name is?
T.D. Waterhouse and Associates. I see that on TV.
If it wasn't for him on that experiment, whatever the guy's name is, that sponsored his first wireless transmission. And do you know the guy's name? I don't know his D.D. Water. Something. H.D.
Just, no, I just keep going.
Some dude basically wanted to profit off of his stuff, and he was like, hell no, and basically got that canceled. But the fact is, he's an unsung scientist, and what is everybody going on? It's really... I don't know either. I'm confused. Please elaborate upon this.
Oh, God.
You know what I was referencing?
The TD Waterhouse, I believe, is an arena that you do concerts at in Tampa.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well,
I was actually referring to old lawyer commercials.
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
Who was the name of the guy?
I don't even know if it was a lawyer. It might have just been like a big business.
Well, no, the funny part was he was making a totally random modern reference joke, and you just kept going like he was right.
I guess so. I do that a lot. Cool. Yeah, whatever.
That was good.
All right, let's go to events.
Tesla, go on, Ben.
Okay, event. Oh,
Robo Joe.
Should I go conspiracy here? Ooh, I like my conspiracies. There's a lot of good ones.
Illuminati, scaling people.
Oh, well.
I don't know if a conspiracy can count as a verifiable event.
Well, I mean, but the thing
it's
is...
It's a historical event, not... I mean,
not a meta-historical event. We're not talking about Assassin's Creed here.
I do love Assassin's Creed, but the thing is, like... one of my favorite historical topics is every war that the U.S. has ever been in, as an overarching topic, because we've never entered into a war with public support without being coerced into it by the government, and it's at this point it's historical record in fact. In World War I there was the Lusitania and things like that.
in World War II, there was Pearl Harbor, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest that the U.S. government had a role in manufacturing that event. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of, modern, even up to modern days. I mean, if you look at 9/11, there's a lot of sketchy details about that. I knew that was coming. That. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, I mean, I know 9/11 is a near and dear topic to a lot of people, and I want to say it's not a tragedy, but the fact that people can blindly say that we didn't have any prior knowledge and stuff like that. I mean, we've done it. Every war the U.S. has ever been in has been the government coercing public opinion. Every war. World War I, World War II.
Yep. Spanish-American War.
Spanish-American War. Yeah, remember the Maine?
Yeah.
When the ship blew up off the coast of Cuba, and it was a boiler accident.
The Zimmerman Telegraph?
Well, that actually happened. That happened.
The XYZ affair?
Yeah, that's true, too.
Totally.
I'm just trying to remember vague things from my...
Yeah, but the thing is, all the things you're saying actually happened, but, like, when it comes to, like, the Lusitania and World War I, America said that there was no... that it was attacked unjustly and things like that, and there was actually... they were carrying munitions, and the German U-boat sank it, and then it was full of passengers. Something like only, like, 100 Americans died, I believe. It was a very low number. And a lot of the propaganda ads and stuff over the years that were rejected wholeheartedly.
So I really don't think that this counts as an event. It seems like more of an overarching phenomenon or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. But I'll allow it.
I mean, I can. Do you want me to get specific real quick?
No, I like it.
No, it's fine.
You've rambled enough.
Okay.
We'll allow it and move on to Neofaust.
I guess the event, it's kind of a tragedy, but I'm obsessed with the fact that this event could have just put us further in the sense of, like, scientific...
It doesn't have to be something that you like. Well, it can be something that you're fascinated about.
I'm fascinated
with
the burning
of
Alexandria, the library in Alexandria. That's
a good one.
Old and expansive knowledge of the ancient world. I mean, you gotta think, the Greeks are pretty fucking advanced. The fact that the machines they built, very primitive machines in the sense that they were, like, you know, gears. For instance, the mechanism of Deus Ex Machina.
Or the Proticariot, the machine that measures the stars.
That, too, and also the primitive, like, computers. Or like
even their knowledge of, like, math and philosophy and stuff, they were way more advanced than we
are
today.
Not only that, it wasn't just the Romans.
The Baghdad batteries.
It's just the Egyptian, the ancient Egyptian knowledge, the Persian knowledge, the Phoenician knowledge.
Did you ever see the graphite drill bits where they used diamonds to etch?
Yes, that was just, and the burning of Alexandria.
Ancient records.
The pyramids.
Well, I mean, the big thing about the burning of the Library of Alexandria was that it held such a... I'm going to punch you.
Pompeii.
It held such
thinking of Atlantis.
Yeah, thinking of Atlantis, yeah. The old Theravada masters and stuff like that. Yeah, the Aryan race.
The attack of the sea peoples.
Everybody knows that Atlantis is in another galaxy.
Yeah, totally.
Dimension, not galaxy.
Yeah, the wormhole.
Different galaxy.
Crab people.
There's no crab people.
Cthulhu?
Ooh. No, they look like drow, actually.
If you go through a stargate with enough power,
have you ever heard of that?
You can get to Atlantis.
The bleep, it's a really low noise that they found in the Pacific Ocean. Bloop, excuse me.
It's been explained.
It has?
The bloop is no longer cool.
The burning of Alexandria.
It was an ice quake, which is pretty cool in of itself.
All right, let Neofaust finish.
Events like the burning of Alexandria, the Library of Alexandria, are things that just obsess me because a lot of it is either motivated by political reasons or religious reasons. Because, for instance, the Arabic regions were such a hotbed of just, like, new thought, mathematical ingeniousness. It's a word, I know, right? Anyways... And just the fact that religions came in and politics came in and burnt down these libraries or these sleuth of just, like, just the sleuth. Slew of knowledge.
He brought back the sleuth.
I brought back the sleuth, yeah.
The sleuth of knowledge. Are we talking about Sherlock Holmes?
I think we are.
Yeah, totally. But just burning of these places just really blow my mind, especially during, like, the witch trials or even just the whole...
Inquisition.
A lot of occult knowledge was burnt or just thrown away with occult knowledge.
Not to mention the purge in Russia. I mean, it happens all over the globe at different points in history.
Just because
lose so much knowledge.
As an application to modern day, can you liken that to what's going on in Louisiana and Texas?
Wait, what's going on in Louisiana?
What, they burning books and Bibles now, too, or something? Thanks to the internet.
It's not a literal burn.
Neo-Nazis coming to America South America now?
The thing is, thanks to the internet, it's impossible to just kill knowledge.
No, that's not necessarily
It's not
true.
A literal burn, but, like, the anti-evolution, like, textbooks and things like that.
Just as long
can
as
you liken
balanced.
That?
Just as balance, basically, is my push to it. I mean, if you want to teach another like precept to the beginning of the universe, leave it out of a science class because that's based on empirical evidence, empiricism. You could do like a class of just origin stories.
No. Yeah, I mean, and to be honest, I feel like it should.
Now
be
you're just talking
because,
about the topic. I was talking about contrasting and comparing.
Well, the thing is, the separation of church and state is one of the things that this country is based on, and the fact that they're allowed to teach a creationism story as fact in a public school is kind of ridiculous.
So what you're trying to say is that
regardless of your religious views, that should be separate.
So what you're saying is that the destruction of the Library of Alexandria is akin to the shutting down of City of Heroes.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, the killing of creativity and knowledge and a buildup of history, yes. Mm. That is completely correct.
Great.
I think that wraps up the Derp Dome.
For now.
Derpy Show.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed hanging out and witnessing the Herp in the Derp Dome in its entirety. We really hope you guys enjoyed it. How do you guys feel about participating in it?
Completely ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous. All right, what about you, Neofaust?
I have a feeling this is going to come back to bite me later in my life.
I agree.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope nobody I know ever watches this.
Everybody you know is going to watch
this. Oh, yeah, we're going to put this all over Facebook and the YouTubes.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate that.
And Tumblr and Twitter, and we're going to send it out
Google
to
Plus.
MySpace and Google Plus.
I'm gonna go in the bathroom and cry now.
We're gonna see if the Proto Men will play parts of it on their tour.
Hey, look at the bright side. At least you didn't use your real name.
My DJ name.
Yeah.
I have to change it.
Yeah. Alright, so they think that they might be going into witness protection programs after this.
So you may never see them again, but we will be back next month with more Derpy Show.
Or hope you're enjoying Derpcember.
Yes, Derpcember.
Derpy Show.
So, I wrote something.
What did you write?
I wrote a poem.
Okay.
And by write...
I didn't know you had the capability of writing poems.
Well, I didn't write it. I guess I typed it. And by typed it, I mean I copied someone else's poem and changed a few words around.
Oh.
But...
This sounds more like something you would do.
Yeah, I believe this more falls into the realm of parody.
Okay.
Which is fair enough. I'm doing a parody of the infamous Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, cool. So that's really appropriate since this is coming out, like, right before Christmas.
Yeah, we thought it's like a little, you know, everyone wanted some Christmas stuff, so I figured this will help get them into the reason of the season.
the reason of the season.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, so this is How the Boar Derped Herpmas.
By Dr. Snorlax.
By Dr. Snorlax. Oh, you wrote a PhD on a piece of paper now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Every herp down in Derpville liked Herpmas a lot. But the boar, who lived just north of Derpville, did not. The boar hated Herpmas the whole Herpmas season. Now please don't ask why, no one quite knows the reason. It could be his bandwidth was capped far too light. It could be, perhaps, that the sun was too bright. But I think that the most likely of perps may have been that his herp was two sizes too derp. But whatever the reason, the bandwidth or perps, he stood there on Herpmas Eve, hating the derps, staring down from the net with a sour, boary frown at the warm lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every herp down in Derpville behind was busy now hanging a fuck ya pie sign.
And they're playing their derp step,
he snarled with a sneer.
Tomorrow is Herpness. It's practically here.
Then he growled with his boar fingers nervously drumming.
I must find some way to stop Herpmas from coming.
For tomorrow he knew all the herps, derp insane, would break bright and early. They'd derp all the same. And then, oh that train, oh the train, train, train. That's the one thing he hated. That train, 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 train. Then the herps, young and old, would jam out with a beat. And they'd beat, and they'd beat, and they'd beat, beat, beat. They would beat out herp crabcore and rare herp jazz beats, which was something the boar couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he'd liked least of all. Every herp down in Derpville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Herpmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the herps would start singing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing! And the more the boar thought of this derp Herpmas sing, the more the boar thought,
I must stop this whole thing!
Why, for 5 and 3 months I've put up with it now. I must stop this herp mist from coming. But how?
Then he got an idea. A derpy idea. The boar got a wonderful derpy idea.
I know just what to do.
The boar laughed in his throat, and he made a quick Krampus-type legs of a goat. And he chuckled and clucked.
What a great boarish trick. With this foot and that leg, I'll look just like that prick. All I need is an antler.
The boar looked around, but since reindeer are scarce, there was none to be found. Did that stop the old boar? No, the boar simply said.
If I can't find an antler, I'll make one instead.
So he called his cat Edgar, he took some red thread, and he tied the big cat on the top of his head. Then he loaded a bag and some big wicked sticks on a ramshackle sleigh so he'd scare all the chicks. Then the boar said,
"Giddy up!"
And the sleigh started down toward the homes where the herps lay a snooze in their town. All their windows were dark, quiet snow filled the air. All the herps were all dreaming sweet dreams without care. Then he came to the first little house on the square.
"This is stop number one,"
the old Krampus boar hissed, and he climbed to the roof, empty bags in his fist. Then he beat down the doorway, a rather large show. But if Krampus could do it, then so could this schmo. He got scared only once for a moment or two. Then he stuck his head by the little herp's room, where the little herp children all slept in a row.
"These derplings,"
he grinned,
"are the first things to go."
Then he slithered and slunk with a smile most unpleasant around the whole room, and he cherished the present. Snorlax and Miss Hipster, Nice Jonna, Marina, Robo-Joe, Neofaust, Dora who explored. And he stuffed them in bags. Then the boar, very nimbly, stuffed all the kids one by one up the chimbley. Then he slunk to their records. He took the herp's beats. He took the herp crabcore. He took the jazz beats. He cleaned out those vinyls as quick as a flash. Why? That boar even took their LP of The Clash. Then he stuffed all their fun up the chimney with glee.
"And now,"
grinned the boar,
"I will stuff up the tree."
And the boar grabbed their tree and he started to shove, when he heard a small sound, like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast and he saw a small herp, little Derpy Lou Herp, who was surely no perp. The boar had been caught by this tiny herp daughter, who'd got out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the boar and said,
"Oh, Krampus, why? Why are you taking our herpmas tree? Why?"
But, you know, that old boar was so herp and so slick, he thought up a lie, and he derped it out quick.
"Why, my sweet little tot,"
the fake Krampus lied,
"there's a light on this tree that's derpy on one side. So I'm taking it home to my cavern, my dear. I'll beat it with reeds, then bring it back here."
And his fib fooled the child. Then he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and he sent her to bed. And then Derpy Lou Herp went to bed with her cup. He went to the chimney and stuffed that tree up. Then the last thing he took was Reddit for their ire. Then he went up the chimney himself, the old liar. In their home he left nothing but Ethernet wire. And the one little tune that he left in the house was a tune that was even too obscure for Neofaust. Then he did the same thing to the other herps' houses, leaving tunes much too rare for the other herps' mouses. It was quarter past dawn, all the herps still abed, all the derps still snooze, when he packed up his sled. Packed it up with their children, the nice ones, the naughty, the good and the bad ones, the modest, the gaudy. 3,000 feet up, up the side of Mount Herpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to derp it.
"Terp, terp to the herps,"
he was boorishly humming.
"They're finding out now that no derpmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the herps down in Derpville will all cry, boo. Who? That's a noise,"
grinned the boar,
"that I simply must hear."
So he paused, and the boar put his hand to his ear, and he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, the sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Derpville, the boar popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every herp down in Derpville, the tall and the small, was singing without any children at all. He hadn't stopped Derpmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the boar, with his boar feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? It came without DJs. It came without snores. It came without derp step, train brake, crab core.
And then he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the boar thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe derpmas,
he thought,
can't be stolen by boar. Maybe derpmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
And what happened then? Well, in Derpville, they say that the boar's herp derped three sizes that day. And the minute his derp didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the kids and the tunes for the beats. And he himself, the boar, mixed those jazz beats. The end. So there's that. Our blatant parody, quotation marks. Of how the boar stole Herp Derpmas.
That was something.
It was something.
Derpy Show.
If you guys like all this stuff, don't forget, check us out on YouTube. We do have videos, so you can actually see the derp in action.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time on those videos, and they're pretty derpy.
They are exceptionally derpy.
Yeah.
And if you like those, and by like, I mean go to YouTube and click like. Or the thumbs up, whatever the hell that is, on thumbs up on YouTube, and you subscribe to us, maybe we'll make more derpy videos.
Yeah, there might be more derpy videos in the future, but we have to know that you actually give a crap. Otherwise, we won't bother.
Right, so if the two of you listening both click upvote, thumbs up, then we'll know.
Yeah, it's true. Some things we've been kicking around for videos, we've been thinking about doing game reviews, we've been thinking about doing some video game playing.
Yeah, we like video games.
Like, just us playing games, and so you can see what it's like when we play together.
We've also discovered that Robo Joe is just as derpy at World of Warcraft as he is in real life. So we've discovered that we laugh at him a lot, so you might laugh at him too. We've been thinking about maybe doing some World of Warcraft playing.
Yeah, if you're interested in any of that stuff, let us know. Maybe we'll produce some of it.
Yeah.
If you don't let us know, we might just do it anyway, because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah, so what, big whoop, you want to fight about it? All right, well, bye!
Bye!
Thanks for listening to Derpy Show, presented by Nerdy Show. If you enjoyed what you've heard, support the Nerdy Show Podcast Network by telling a friend, join in on the community forums, or support us with your hard-earned cash and receive exclusive perks. For more episodes of Derpy Show, Nerdy Show, Dungeons & Doritos, and other podcasts, videos, our Minecraft server, and other cool stuff, visit nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. And remember to follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter, at Nerdy Show, to keep up to date on the latest Nerdy Show news.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.